And my mom was always supportive of me, and I was number 9 of children to be born, and she had her favorites. My sister Pat and my brother Jack were always her favorites, but she always looked to me more because I stayed in the faith, and when I was in school, I would come home every day instead of going out for sports, which I liked. I came home every day and worked for her. And I did some wild things. She was a great gardener, and her water bills were pretty bad. So the time I was 12 years old, I went to work for the water company in summertime to work out her water bill. And until I was 16, all I could be was water boy. And this was back in days when they'd have 100 men in a ditch, and I'd be going down the ditch getting water for all these guys that were working. And then when I got to be 16, then they let me do other jobs. But anyway, that was one of the little side views on my...
We work off her water bill.
But she was very special. And my wife, we don't have time to talk about my wife because most of you knew her, and she was wonderful. In fact, if I ever amounted to anything, I'd say it was probably my wife. A script reading I'm going to read from the 31st of Proverbs, beginning at the 10th verse. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships, she bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That's Proverbs 31:10-31. I like to talk about my mother all the time, but I can't talk about her all the time. I've got to talk about other things, too. She was a very, very special lady, and I miss her. I think the older I get, the more I miss her. You may not have known this. I wouldn't have known it unless I had the internet, but this is the 100th anniversary of Mother's Day. And it was started by Anna Jarvis in Grafton, West Virginia, at Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church in honor of her mother. And on that day, each person received a white carnation. West Virginia was the first state to recognize Mother's Day, and Woodrow Wilson approved a resolution in 1914 to make the second Sunday in May Mother's Day. And before she died in 1948, Jarvis protested at a Mother's Day celebration in New York and was arrested. She hated the commercialization of Mother's Day, and she just really didn't like it, and she tried to make them change, but they wouldn't. It is estimated that Americans will spend $15 billion this year for Mother's Day, most of it on taking them out to dinner. I remember Mother's Day in my little home church in Pomona, California. My dear great aunt Maggie Adamson gave each of us a carnation. White if your mother was dead, pink if your mother was living. And that was it. It was very simple and was very beautiful. But that was Mother's Day. So we're celebrating Mother's Day by turning to the scriptures in regard to the virtuous woman that was mentioned in our reading in Proverbs 31. And it is generally considered to be the description of an ideal wife. And a lot of people say, well, that's too ideal. There's no woman that measures up that, can't be real. But that's partly because the lead question says, who can find a virtuous woman? The idea being that there are not many. But I paraphrase that after looking at other versions. One, the man who finds a good wife knows her worth. That's what that verse is saying. So if a man finds a good wife, he knows her worth. One of the things that's very interesting about the scripture is it is an acrostic. It's a range so that each of the 22 verses begins with one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So a lot of times people do acrostics to try to remember things. John Thompson, as I recall, was always doing acrostics to try to help us to remember scriptures and so forth. So this was an acrostic with each one of the 22 verses starting with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So what it amounts to is meant as a whole to be a special section. And in reading about Solomon, I would say that he probably knew the influence of bad women, so I think he probably decided it was a good thing to brag up and talk about the good women. And so this is what we see in this. I rather enjoy Dr. Ethelbert W. Berlinger's analysis of this particular section. And he sees it as an alternation. Verses 10 through 12, her husband. 13 through 19, her occupation. Verse 20, her character, bounty. Number 21, her household. Number 22, herself without. It goes back again. Number 23, her husband. 24, 25, her occupation. 26, her character, wisdom. Verses 27 and 28, her household. And verses 29 through 31, herself within. In other words, what's inside of her. So this is an interesting way to say it because it is kind of breaks it down and helps us to see the different subjects that are in the particular section. The virtuous woman comes from a Hebrew word that means strong in all moral qualities. That's what it's talking about her. Starting out, her husband, he values her, he trusts her. In fact, it says above rubies, but the word there is coral, talking about precious coral, probably from the Red Sea, and she will do him good. I think this is one of the blessings of a good wife, that she does her husband good. She does not do him evil. She does him good. I guess the thing about it, we realize that in the fifth of Ephesians, Paul points out that the man and his wife were really one. And so he said nobody ever hates his own body. He loves and cherishes it. So if we say the woman does her husband good, she's part of him, she's one with him, so anything that she does good for him is good for her. Any way she hurts him, hurts herself. I hate it. I know all of us have been in public sometime when we see husband or wife low-rating the other person. I think that's very bad taste. And I always say, well, if they do this in public, what goes on in private? And I worry about that. So we want to see that this love and respect and doing one another good. He is known in the gates because of her industry, making his clothes and doing other things, and her occupation. I think this was interesting to me that in the Middle East, as well as in early America, there was not the real difference in social classes, and all women pretty much did the same thing. In other words, every home was the same. And when I think of the woman, I think that probably she necessarily did not personally buy a field and plant a vineyard, but rather out of what she saved by her wise management, they were able to buy and build and plant. And they were one with one another. I've known of a good many wives who funded their husband's education. And she was out to do him good. Verse 19 talks about her holding the spindle and the distaff. I remember in the National Geographic, I think it was in Turkey, they showed this woman going down the road on a donkey, and she had the distaff and was spinning wool as she was riding down the road. She had... Otherwise, this may have taken a long time to get where she was going, and so because it was not like a spinning wheel that we think of, but it was just a little thing that was kind of a stick that had little spokes, you might say, and she was going down the road spinning wool with the distaff, and so I thought this was a pretty good idea. In verses 20 and 26, it talks about her character, that she was bountiful toward those in need without the family, and then she was also bountiful toward her own family. It talks about her wisdom, that she continues to build herself by study and experience. There's an old proverb that says, you educate a woman, you educate a family. So this lady, you know, the virtuous woman that we're talking about here in the Proverbs, continued to build herself so that she could be a blessing to her family. Verses 21, 27, and 28 talk about her household, how she cared for them. Said didn't worry about winter weather because they were clothed in scarlet. Most of us don't remember red underwear. I do. It was red wool underwear, scratchy as all get out. I could not wear it, but other people did. I always liked cotton myself. But anyway, what it meant here, that the clothing was double. I think that probably she was quilting the winter clothes that they had. In fact, as far as we know, quilting began in China, and Marco Polo brought quilting to Europe, because they were taking two layers of cloth and putting a filler in it to keep themselves warm. So her children rise and call her blessed. By their training and their deportment, they make her happy. I could talk a long time on children. I've had, through the years in my shop, I've had very little trouble with children. I've had some people come in there. I had a family came in this week, and they had three little kids, and they held their hands as they brought them in the shop. I said, let go of those kids. I said, they're not going to hurt anything. And they said, oh, they might touch something. Oh, I said, I've had a child break only one thing in all the years in an antique shop, and I've had adults break several things. So I said, leave them alone. Let them enjoy themselves. Anyway, there was a doctor from Augusta that I used to hate to see him come in the shop. He had three kids, and even my cats knew enough to hide when they came in because they just... And just it was awful. But anyway, that the good woman, the good wife, her children rise to call her blessed because of their behavior. Herself, verses 22 and 29 through 31. Externally, she made coverlets, dresses of the fine, and dressed in the finest. That within she, it was not charm and beauty; it was God fearing. And a praise to him that made her so special. So we feel that from experience and from reading like the Syrian Christ, Ribony, Cencino books, that this is not an occasional wife. This is a model and a motive for all godly women. So it is not an unreachable ideal, but it's a model that all good women could try to follow.